Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
About 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came down and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things that they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Today, on this Sunday of Super Bowl, no, wait, sorry. Today, on this last Sunday before we enter into Lent, we hear, as we do every year, the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus and a few disciples going up the mountain, having a spectacularly amazing experience where they are astounded by the greatness of God, so much so that Peter, true to form, wants to get busy and build some memorials so they can stay up there the whole time. But the voice of God comes and tells them to instead listen to Jesus. The disciples and Jesus come down the mountain and are met by a crowd, including a man who has asked the disciples to cast out a demon, but the disciples have not been able to do so. So he turns to Jesus and begs. And Jesus' reply isn't his normal, "Let me touch and heal this person," his normal, "I can take care of this," almost response. Instead, he says, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer do I have to be with you? And how much longer do I have to bear this? Would you bring your son here?" I call it exasperated Jesus. But yet, at the same time, I don't know about you, but I think it could be any of us on our first day back to work after an amazing vacation, or maybe just after a really wonderful weekend, or coming back to work after maternity or paternity leave, or time with your family, or whatever it is that lightens your life when you're told you have to get back in your groove. And Jesus clearly has some frustration. I'm not sure if it's about the need to get to work, but also the fact that everybody relies on him rather than on their own ability to get to work healing and teaching and spreading the good news. And what I like about the two vignettes we hear today, Jesus on the top and the bottom of the mountain, I should say Jesus and the disciples on the top of the mountain and on the bottom, what's great about them being next to each other is they reflect what our own faith journey looks like. We go on retreat, or make time for daily prayer, or are deeply engaged in outreach ministry, or whatever it may be where you see the face of God. And in these moments of doing what God has called us to do, we hope now and again we can have a mountaintop experience. And we have them, and we become so lit up with the palpable presence of God that it lights our hearts on fire. I can tell you, pilgrimaging with our teens who are reluctant to say they had a God experience, they don't know it, but their face does kind of glow. They come back, and it's true with adults. There is something that is transformative about God's presence, and it is so powerful that we, like Peter, would love to stay there. We want to revel in this presence where the power of God is so forceful, is so overwhelming that we just want to be still and soak it in. And in those moments of that palpable presence, we are transfigured. In those moments that I call mountaintop experiences, we become even more aware of the real presence of God. Not God over there, not God up at heaven, but God Emmanuel with us. Now, if you have never had a mountaintop experience, please do not sit in your pew in despair. It is not about ticking off one of the boxes in the Christian faith bingo card. It's not what this is about. But these experiences are more likely to happen when we are able to put the hustle and bustle of our daily lives aside and be present to God. To be present to God's presence within us. And often that happens when we can remove ourselves from the swirl of the next and the what else has to be done in our own little checklists. And when we can withdraw from that, we often hear the voice of God at that time. I've said it happens on pilgrimage. It happens at times when we go on, say, sabbatical. It happens on times when we stop and search for the light and the love that the disciples found on that mountain. We cannot conjure up mountain experiences by any means, but we can also engage in activities where God might speak to us, or perhaps better phrased, where we are in a place where we are able to stop and listen. But the second half of today's gospel, is so important because it's the other half of the life of faith. Or maybe I should say it's the other 95% of the life of faith. In this second half, in which exasperated Jesus gets tired of having to be the go-to guy in all of this healing and teaching and spreading the good news, in this second half, we see what our work is actually to be. Now, can I point out for a second a small irony that I've never noticed before? Is that they're on the mountain, they want to stay there, and God says, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." And the next words out of Jesus' mouth are, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Sometimes that is reflective of our Christian faith. But I think that God wasn't talking about just those words, but rather the greater arc of Jesus's life, that greater arc of what Jesus is teaching, that greater arc of how Jesus is healing, that greater arc of whom Jesus is choosing to spend time with. You see, all of that is the work that we do in the valley where we live next to the mountain. It is our daily work. It is our daily call of Christians. You and I are to be with the outcast. You and I are to be with those who are in need and healing, including ourselves. You and I are to be with those who need love. And when we are feeling like we don't have the energy to go on, we don't have the room to do that work, then we go back. We go back to those disciplines where maybe we'll have a mountaintop experience. We go back to those places where we are filled so that we can become again astounded by the greatness of God. Astounded by the greatness of God and what God's love and power working through us can do to change us and to call us to change the world. Now, you may not know, but we are preparing for sabbatical. It is not me preparing for sabbatical, it is we, because you see, when I go, you're going too. You're going on sabbatical in place, but still you're going. And it is important because as I've been preparing and as your vestry has been preparing, I have thought a lot about mountaintops and valleys. Most of you know, if you've been at St. Cross for any number of years, that I have a special mountaintop that I like to go back to again and again, nestled in the Sierras where there's no phone, no television, no newspaper, no satellite radio, nothing. I love it. There is a pay phone, but other than that. And I know that going there recharges me. And I always leave, it doesn't matter how long I am there, but I leave wanting just one more day, just a little bit more of that time on the mountaintop, because that energy so fills me up, and I come back renewed and refreshed. So in a little more than 3 months, St. Cross, you and I are gonna have opportunities to climb the mountaintop. You all together, and me on my own. We will both have opportunities to listen, to see where we can be astonished by the greatness of God working through us and in us. Now, this is a reminder, I do not leave until the end of May. We have time. But as part of that preparation, because you just don't go off the mountaintop on your own, your vestry is actually working on our retreat this year about how you all will pilgrimage on sabbatical together, how the work of both the mountaintop and the valley will continue at St. Cross while we are separated. Because it's your journey, and it's your ministry, and it's your leadership that Jesus calls us to today. Now, it's not like I'm gonna be sitting around doing nothing. I have my own stack of reading piled up. I'm learning Spanish finally, like my parents did in my 40s. It's apparently now a family tradition. I have work to do, and I will spend time on mountaintops also. But I will be listening, as you will, for where God is transforming me and where God is calling me to listen to where you and I are called to journey together in the valleys next. So on this Sunday of Transfiguration, I am left to wonder. And I hope that you will wonder with me. I wonder what our mountaintops will look like. I wonder how we will describe them to one another upon our reunion. I wonder how brightly our faces will glow. And I wonder where our next valley will be where we are called to spread the love of God. So I hope that even beginning now, we will pray for one another. We will look to be astounded by the greatness of God working in our lives, and that together we will be transfigured with the glory of God. Amen.